Now, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard? Not the billiards. It was... Come on, everybody.
What?
Come on. We call it
the place to be.
The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Priscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of the Place to Be podcast. We are back at you two nights in a row here. And with me, as always, is the man who just wants to hold your hand because he's a miserable, defeated Cowboys fan that's never won anything. So, as he told us last night, that is Scott Criscola.
Good Lord. Where's your Joe Namath jersey? Do you even know who he is?
I don't know. I was not around like you were. So
yeah, exactly. Well, he won you a Super Bowl, so sorry you weren't alive for that. But anyway, tonight, good evening, JR. Good evening, everyone. There'll be no acrimony tonight unless he wants to argue about the use of Santino Marella, in which case he wins. But tonight, we are not here to debate. We are here to inform. Last night was for our sports junkies. Tonight, it is for our wrestling junkies. It is, I guess, part two. But it is episode 90, officially. So it's not really part two. It's a completely separate headline cast. One headline spawned into two.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, we talk the squared circle. Professional wrestling. A lot of stuff going on. Network, Raw, SmackDown. We have our TLC picks. And... of course, we'll get into the news and notes from around wrestling, brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And then, of course, we will have our asshole of the week. If JR was voting, he'd probably be me. And I'm sure maybe someday.
I don't know. You're like the lifetime achievement winner for that.
So yeah, I am. Yeah, well, if Matt Mars was voting, it would be me forever because I'm not allowed to talk.
Deceptive boy! You don't get me!
And then you get thrown out the window. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Should I just let that keep playing? Hey, whatever. Go back to whatever you were doing. Tonight, of course, like I said, we got a lot to cover, so let's just jump right in. Let's begin with Monday Night Raw. And, of course, this week was the final three-hour Raw of 2011. It was the Slammies. And, of course, all the different awards, 3 hours. I'm sure we'd have a few special guests that would come out. There were rumored some. Others didn't come out, and people were a little curious about that. The one that was rumored the most that didn't end up coming out was Trish Stratus, your girl.
Yeah, well, she turned it down, I guess. It seems like they asked her kind of last minute, and she said no thanks. So
she was touring, or she was doing something. She was on the road. She wasn't anywhere near, I don't even know where the hell Monday show was.
Norfolk?
Norfolk, yeah, somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic area. She wasn't there. So, and they said that, and of course everyone's like, oh my God, she's on the shit list because everybody panics. But no, everything's fine. They asked her like Saturday or something and they said she wasn't going
to
be around. So
now I will say I didn't get to see the entire show because I got home late and I just kind of watched it on DVR. So I saw all the awards and the important stuff. I just didn't really catch any of the matches. I had to make up some time. So I fast forwarded through most of them. But I did see all the presentations and the important storyline stuff.
Yes. Yeah. No, a lot of I thought it was a good show. It was a little long, but, the 3 hour Raws, you got to take with a grain of salt and kind of pace yourself. The matches, a couple of them were okay. What was it? Orton and Cena against Miz and Del Rio. I think that's what it was, right? Yeah. That wasn't bad. It was a decent. No, I'm sorry. It was Punk and Orton.
Yeah,
I'm
Punk
sorry.
And Orton.
Punk and Orton against Del Rio and.
How was that four way? The Zach. Daniel Bryan.
Oh, it wasn't bad. No, it was good. I mean, you had three good guys. Ziegler's still in a role. I mean, you have four guys right now who in the ring are firing.
Yeah, those are the four mid-card kind of stalwarts that they can rely on for the hot matches and kind of look to it for the future.
Yeah, no, it was a good match. It was solid. I'm not surprised Ziegler won.
Oh, my God!
There was no real response in that aspect, but it was fun that, although at the end, Dolph Ziegler did kind of beat down Zach. So maybe if you have that old school mentality and you're a fan of the Long Island IZ, maybe you feel good about yourself, because anytime, obviously, you know, when you get the go home and your guy gets beat down, you know what that means. But who knows? We're in a different era. We are in a different era, but art is happy in any era. Doesn't matter. Why don't we go over the very quickly? I don't have a list in front of me. We should find it. Go over a list of the awards.
All right. Jim Ross won the Oh My God. Or no, tell me you didn't. I did not see that moment.
Yes,
for his dancing, and then they had the rap off. And
yep.
What did you think of that? I've seen some people think that they just did it again to humiliate JR. But I mean, he seems to take it in stride. He goes out there, laughs it off. So I don't know. I mean, I think some people are too sensitive when it comes to JR. They think that anything he does is a big slight, and they're just out to get him. And there are a lot of things they do to fuck with him. But I don't. I think sometimes people just take any little comment or any little slight as like they're really punishing him. But I mean, he seems to take it in stride most of the time, I think.
Well, he knows that he's the darling announcer and the fan. He knows deep down inside, and I think Cole does too. JR will always be the voice of this company, at least in the last. Well. Number two, the voice of this company will always be Gorilla Monsoon, but
I don't do any tricks.
You're not the voice of anybody. Go back to your trampoline. JR is the voice of the company for the last 20 years. That'll never change. But you know, Cole can do his jabs, but in the end, JR will always come out on top. So I don't make a big deal of it. I mean, come on, JR is a big boy. He can take care of himself. I mean, this isn't like. You know, Miz taking the Slammy away from the little girl last year. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who's going, you know, he had the poor Dr. Heine skit. Anybody who could survive the Dr. Heine skit can take care of themselves. So I don't have a problem with it at all. You know, Cole's going to get the digs on JR until he completely antiseptic. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Sanitizes his character to being the old Michael Cole. I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
It's weird, though, because he does it sometimes. Like, they did one segment where him and King. I think maybe it was when they talked about the network or something. Him and King were at the table, and they were kind of like laughing with each other, and King almost kind of patted him, and he was like talking normal. It's just weird how he goes back and forth throughout it. I mean, obviously during the JR stuff, he was out of control, screaming and stomping around.
Right.
The next, of course, presentation was the... Just want to make sure I get it right. The holy shit moment of the year with Mick Foley and DiBiase. I liked them together. I thought they were pretty funny doing each other's little shticks. And Foley was funny doing all the DiBiase kind of facials.
Yeah.
And Big Show and Mark Henry won that one for breaking the ring. And Big Show then beat Wade Barrett by DQ. Let's see. Next one was, were you excited? Your boy Road Dogg was in the house?
Oh, D-O-double-G, baby. That was outstanding. That might have been the highlight of my night. Was seeing one half of my...
He looked good. He looks the same.
He looks awesome. And, you know, I thought he was just going to come on anything, but the fact he was wearing a DX shirt kind of brought a tear to my eye.
And now he is back full-time, I read. Yeah. So he's there working for TV and pay-per-views. So that's good.
No, he's a smart kid. He's just a kid. Mm. He's a smart guy. I mean,
he's a kid for you.
he's a smart guy. I mean, his family knows the business well, so it seems like he's got his demons out of the way, and he's not kicking that shiznit doggy style anymore. So two tears in a bucket, and all those other mannerisms and innuendos of 1998, 1999. But it's good to see him back. You know, he realized that all the stuff he did in TNA with the, you know, Voodoo Kin Mafia and all that stuff, you know, he laughed it off. It was a big joke. You know, Billy Gunn wants to have a chip on his shoulder. That's his prerogative. But but I'm happy he's back. Seeing him come out, and I would have liked to see him do the little dance to the podium. But the fact he's wearing a DX shirt was awesome. So I like to think at some point maybe him and Sean and – well, I'm not Sean because Sean wasn't part of that DX. But it would be nice to see Triple H and him and X-Pac and all them hanging out. It would be pretty cool. But it was good to see him back. I enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad Triple H is kind of bringing some of these guys back in the fold.
Yeah.
Some of the Attitude guys. So it's good to see. So, of course, they were presenting, he was presenting rather, the Pipe Bomb of the year. And instead of having specific nominees, they just kind of ran through a bunch of funny promos and kind of gag reel almost of some guys. And we saw some of the highlights. And, of course, CM Punk won that. He came out with a cutout of John Laurinaitis.
It was a mannequin.
It was a mannequin, rather, dressed as a surfer dude. And then we got possibly the. One of the greatest video packages, I think, of all time. I don't know.
Yes, your cunt is in the sink.
That's for sure. So is your career, apparently, after that segment.
Yeah, it was really funny. So he kind of sets it up, and he was he had the old Dynamic Dudes WCW shirt on, and the dummy had one on. And you think they're going to start selling those again?
I hope so. They should do that every time. Who cares? They're overpricing the t-shirts anyway. Why not? Throw it on there for $20 or something. No, they'll probably charge $30, but what the hell? Why not? They own it. Use it.
I bet they would sell some. Yeah, they definitely own it, right? Because it's part of their intellectual property or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's part of the whole. Yeah, it's part of the whole. If they couldn't, if they didn't own it, they wouldn't be able to put it on camera.
You got the touch. You got the power.
When they brought that out, I was flipping out. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was tremendous. It was. So, it's almost as excellent a moment as the "You Fire in Me" or the Lex Luger, the Lex Express song. So
I mean, really, it's right. It's like just when you think you kind of lose faith in them with some things, they go and do something like this. You know what I mean? And like, you remember how awesome they can be. Like that video was really tremendous. Mm. I really loved the way they put it together. They had some great clips. How they had the current stuff, and then they had some of the older clips. And I'm sure Punk was involved in helping put that together. So. And a good on John Laurinaitis, you know, he takes these little beatings, he takes these little shots, he plays his role well.
Yeah. No, he knows what he needs to do. That's not on WrestleMania the album, is it? You're not going to be playing that every week now,
right? What do you mean? This song is awesome. Transformers the movie?
Oh, God.
I guess you were a little old for that. You probably didn't go see that.
No, I didn't. No.
Well, you should watch it.
Which one's that again?
The movie. I think it came out in like 84. No, I had to be late in the 84.
Which one's that again?
Transformers the movie.
Oh, Transformers the movie.
The original. Not the stupid new ones.
Yeah, the cartoon 80. No, it was later than that.
Yeah, because I was older. I was old enough to go see it.
It's like 88, I think. Maybe.
I have it on tape.
Yeah, 87 or 88. Something like that. Yeah. It's all the same voices as the movie, though.
Yeah, it came out in 86.
Okay, so.
August 8th, 86. So, well, I went to see it. I was probably, just over 5. I went to go see it. Or almost 6 years old, so. It was a good movie, you know, Optimus Prime. Maybe I shouldn't spoil it for anyone. I'm sure most people have seen it, right?
No, I'm sure people have seen it, yeah.
Optimus Prime dies and Rodimus Prime takes over, so.
Yep.
Very emotional movie.
Yes, I was always a Megatron fan myself. I like the Decepticons.
Well,
but
you are an asshole.
Yeah, I was an asshole. But anyway, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed those a lot, so. But anyway, you know.
Something tells me LaRue was a Starscream fan because he's so fucking annoying.
Or Soundwave, because he wanted to make sure he was in everyone's ear. That yes. Too. So, all right. So anyway, so Punk wins it, and I actually, when we get to Marty later on, I actually enjoyed his appearance. Actually, was one of the.
Shut up!
It's hey, he's your boss. He's your employee. So anyway, why don't we go on with the? Anyway, so he'll come out later, but we'll get to that in a minute. So. So Punk won that award.
Yeah, then we had the tag match that you mentioned before. Then Santino came out for the Oh My God moment of the year. A little contrived, Triple H hitting the Tombstone on Taker. Obviously, I don't think that was truly the... And I'm not even to say that, the bust on Triple H. I think there were better moments than that.
Oh, I agree.
That should have won. Obviously, I think the Punk winning Money in the Bank or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that whole angle should have won. But
I
it was just to set him up making his return. This is actually, I also skipped this because I was just kind of buzzing through this show. So I do know he referenced The Undertaker, and it does seem like, we'll get to this in a little bit, that they are setting up that rematch for WrestleMania. So was there anything else pertinent in that thing, or was he just kind of give it the hard sell for TLC?
Yeah, he gave the hard sell for TLC. He did slip in the little Taker jab there about the streak is now over. Obviously not over meaning the streak isn't over, meaning he'll, you know, Taker's never going to wrestle again. It's the first time you ever saw him get carried out of the ring, and then he went into the whole thing with Nash, and our friendship of 16 years was a mirage, and you were all about the money, regardless of who was in your way, and that kind of thing, and we'll finish it at TLC. So he hard sold the match, threw the Taker dig in, and then left, and then he almost beat the shit out of Santino, so as he was walking up the ramp. So that was pretty much it.
Then we had the four-way to determine who was the trending superstar of the year.
Yes.
And that was won by Dolph Ziggler, beat Cody, Daniel Bryan, and Zack Ryder. So we'll see where things end up with them on Sunday with Dolph. I think he's going to lose because I think they're prepping him for the next stage. So, at this point, though, I don't think he's winning the Rumble. I think they're going to go a different direction. But I have a feeling he's going to be a Money in the Bank guy. So we'll see as that goes along. Jerry Lawler came to present the Slammy to Dolph. So that was after that. Christian came out in his little neck brace and his crutches, still selling the injury. I like that. That was a pretty funny little piece of business.
Yeah,
they did the what did they do? Oh, Game Changer of the Year. And Cena and Rock making the WrestleMania match won that. And Cena came out and did his usual kind of crapped on the Rock and set that up. So
yeah, I don't agree with that. There was another. Something else was nominated. I don't remember.
Edge retiring, Nash attacking Punk, and Rock and Cena.
I
and, Vince. No, Vince being relieved. That was the main one.
Yeah, that was the main one. But I thought that Edge retiring was going to win because then I thought he was going to come out. That's another guy that I was surprised.
Yeah.
Didn't
show I think
up.
They may have saving his return for something bigger. I think. Again. Like, yeah. I know he's been on since, but I think they're kind of want to keep him off for a little bit to build that excitement, and he'll be back again at some point. Mm. Then we had the other tag match. Miz and Del Rio beat Punk and Orton, and Punk was left lying at the end of it trying to set up, you know, the triple threat, put some heat, and right. set that up. So, sorry, I just got excited. Roddy White scored another touchdown, which is tremendous. they're up 41-0 right now, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's still halfway through the third.
We mentioned this last night that, once again, Jacksonville, what a great investment, guys, to put them on another primetime game.
Hey, I like it. I'm enjoying watching Atlanta romp.
Well, they need it, so we talked about that last night. So, okay. Then there was the Superstar of the Year right after that then?
Let's see. They had the A-lister of the Year, and Snooki won that, and it was cool that they got her to do another little promo. I think she may be one of the better celebrities they've had in the last couple of years. She seemed she put a lot of effort into it, and also had a little stumbling on Raw when she was hammered and stumbling through her promo with Trish and everything. But I thought Mania she did a good job, and I thought her little promo here was good. And I liked how they helped put over Zack Ryder as well. That was a nice little touch. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
Then we had Sheamus versus Jinder Mahal, and so it looks like he is still around. I know you were concerned about him.
I was, of course, but as we saw, the match didn't even happen. He got brogue kicked in the face, so as normal, he's still slightly one notch below Trent Beretta on the roster list. So Trent Beretta still has the spot at number 48, as Jinder Mahal is still at 49. So,
and Sheamus, of course, easily defeated him.
Yes.
So then we move along, and that's where Johnny Ace came out and said that Punk was in no condition because he won the Superstar Slam of the Year presented by Rey Mysterio. Did you like? It was cool seeing Rey. That was a nice little touch, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see him. You know, he doesn't look bad. I mean, he's not due back for at least another, 3.5-4 months. So, you know, that's fine with me. And but I don't know. Marty made me laugh in that little skit. I got a kick out of him.
He's good with the little condescending stuff, you know.
Yeah, and thank you so much. He's all excited. He's running off with a slammy. He's almost remind me of Owen in 96. I don't know. It just made me laugh. I thought it was really funny. I enjoyed it. He's growing on me.
Like I said, I think he's good in a little kind of a goofy stooge role, and the guy is kind of like oblivious to being made fun of constantly. I kind of like that about him. He's like, all they do is rag on him and take the shots at him, and he still comes out smiling and doing his thing. So I love the we didn't really talk about it, but in the You Got the Touch video when they show the clip of him like dialing the phone and the back-to-back.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that too. No, he's definitely settling into this role, and I think he's doing fine, and we'll see how long it goes. But for once I'm actually kind of enjoying his character. So I don't know how long it'll go, but that skit was fun. I enjoyed him in that little promo.
And then that brought us up to the main event, and that was Mark Henry versus John Cena. And just when Cena was starting to fight back and looked like he maybe was going to pick up the win, he got hit with the world's strongest slam. But then the pyro went off, the lights went out, and Kane's music fired up.
Yep.
And Kane, or what appeared to be Kane, made his way out, and he had a huge like welder's mask on. And he looked very thin. He had thin, thin hair as well. And a few people I know actually thought it was Undertaker. It was funny because my brother spoiled it for me, actually. I was behind by so much, and he texted me, goes, is that really Kane? It doesn't look like him. I'm like, well, thanks. I guess Kane's coming back. So, and then he took off the welder's mask after he laid out Cena, and he had his other old-school mask, like 2002-ish, that mask on, mm-hmm. The kind of half one. So, and that's how the show went off the air. He was standing over Cena. Now, there were rumors that when he came back, he was going to resume his feud with Mark Henry, but it seems like they're going a different way with it now, and he's going to probably be the guy that keeps Cena busy before he hits the WrestleMania stretch. So,
yeah, I didn't understand that, though. I mean, he was taken out by Mark Henry. I don't know. I would have at least had that go, and then, I don't know, unless Kane's just going to be crazy, maybe something happens at TLC. I don't know. I was still puzzled by that. I was happy Kane's back, and it was probably his best return since his first return, since his debut.
The one return I really loved for him, if you remember early 2000 when he returned to Paul Bearer in the red jacket,
oh, yeah.
And everything, that was he got that. It was during that right after that awesome 10-man in
yes.
Dallas in February 2000, and he had that like yep. monster pop, and like that was awesome. And he just came out and cleared house. So, but yeah, it was good to see him back. He definitely looked like he lost a lot of weight, and I could see why people thought he looked like Undertaker. He had very similar hair and a very similar body. So, but he looks to be in good shape. So this might be his final run. So hopefully he does well.
Yeah.
They said that the Slammy show this week was rewritten several times throughout the day. At one point, yep. Triple H wasn't even scheduled to be on. And then they ended up adding him last minute, but the ratings, didn't completely deliver. They have a breakdown here where they kind of went up and down. Let's see. The one I got here. Yeah, the one I got here is not very good. It's just like breakdown by viewers, which we don't really care about. I know that they kind of lost as it went along.
That third hour just seems to flop. I don't understand why. It seems like every third hour or second hour, last hour, whether it's second or third, it just seems like the viewers vanish after the mid, you know, the mid show thing, whether it's a long promo or a decent match. It seems like people shut the TV, change the channel at like 5 after 10, which is very weird. And I don't know if it's the, you know, that might be a product of the Monday night game. Maybe they're thinking, wow, this game's actually not bad. I'll go back to Raw eventually, but then they stay to the game and don't come back. I mean, and then they could check out what happened on Raw on the website or check it on YouTube or something like that. So, that's what I think it is. I don't think they're shutting it off because they think the show stinks. If they think the show stinks, then every hour rating would stink. I personally think that people leave, check the Monday night game, because there's really no other shows on Monday nights. And if it's bad, then they, if the game's good, doing good, then they stay with it. And then they just don't go back to Raw, and they could check it on YouTube or on the website, you know, WWE.com the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think. I think once the Monday night schedule ends, I think maybe you'll see the third hour do well. And the good thing about that is once the Monday night schedule ends, you get into the arc, you know, the Rumble and
right.
and all that kind of stuff. So I think things will get better anyway. So it may work out for them. I think they just need to kind of ride the tide here and until after Christmas, and then I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll definitely see where things go. So, all right, let's quickly run through the SmackDown spoilers.
Yep.
Josh Matthews opens the show. He interviews Booker T about his match with Cody Rhodes on Sunday, and Cole kind of gets in his face as well. Booker just says this is about Cody trying to make a name for himself and legitimize himself, but he won't be doing it against Booker. Matthews asks him if he wins the IC title, will he be back full time? And Booker said he hasn't thought that far yet. And then Cody came out as well to kind of add extra heat. And then Cody would defeat Daniel Bryan in a non-title match as well after that. So Alicia Fox beat Natalya. And I don't know, it seems like poor Natty and Beth, all they do is lose.
Why though? I mean, everyone knows. We said this. Everyone knows that they're the best. They're the best wrestlers of the divas.
Yeah, it seems like they kind of like contradict themselves. They're giving them a push, but they never win. So it's kind of odd.
Yeah, but she's still the champion. So who knows? So I don't know. That's very weird.
Then we got Epico and Primo defeated the Usos. Big Show defeated Jack Swagger. Mark Henry came out and he after Swagger lost to Show. Henry hit Swagger with a chair, and then Henry hit the cameraman with a chair as well. So trying to put over the chair gimmick, obviously. Mm. Heath Slater came out, and let's see, what did he do? He beat Ted DiBiase, actually. Oh, no, they have the spoof.
Yep, no, Heath Slater beat Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, but then when you read it, it says DiBiase wins with Dream Street, so I think they wrote it backwards.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, then Sheamus came out and wiped out Jinder Mahal again. And beat him again. So Jinder Mahal is Jinder got involved in the match after he attacked DiBiase, and then Sheamus came out and beat him again. So,
okay, good. Apparently, Sheamus is hot. So,
yep. Over the Limit will be in Raleigh in 2012. They announced.
Ah, okay.
And then we have the main event: Randy Orton and Zack Ryder defeated Dolph Ziggler and Wade Barrett. So there's your SmackDown for this Friday, the final go home show before TLC. And speaking of TLC, let's quickly give our picks here. I got the full card. You ready?
Let's do it.
Tables match, Randy Orton, Wade Barrett.
Orton. I think it's comeback from the Survivor Series match.
Yeah, I agree. He needs a win. And it'll be a good match, but yeah, I think Orton wins that. Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder.
You know, I was going back and forth when I was doing our picks, our man Phil's picks that we've been doing all year. I went back and forth, but in the end, I took Zack Ryder to win the title. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, but my official pick is I think Zack Ryder finally gets
the offense. But there are a lot of skeptics that think that perhaps you can't take it. How do you address those skeptics?
Well, the skeptics and all the people that have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry. Anybody?
I'm not doing that again. you better show me respect. I want to see Zack Ryder win this match. I think he's earned it. We need a nice, just good feeling. Don't overbook this into something we all think we want. Just let Zack Ryder win.
I agree. And I think so. I think they've gotten to the point. They built it and built it and built it. I think he wins here. And then I think Dolph is going to transition on and become more of a main event player. Mm. The only thing I was wondering is if they would hold it off, and if I don't know if they're planning on doing like a big like New Year show or anything. Sometimes they save something big for like the first show of the new year after that, or even the last show of the year sometimes after the Christmas break. So, like, I kind of wouldn't be shocked if Dolph kind of sneaks out with his title here, and then they do something big on Raw to try and like start the year with a big title change or something like that. Like, I don't know if there's a Raw coming up in Long Island or New York or anything anytime soon, but
well, they have that. I mean, I'm not saying there's gonna be a title change, but I know there's a house show at the Garden that week. I don't think the title change will happen there, but I don't know if there's a Raw closer. I mean, when's that? When is that Chicago Raw? January 2nd, right? First one of the year?
No, it's the last one. I think it's the last one of the year.
Oh, I don't think they'll do it there.
No, probably not. I think Punk will probably have a title defense there. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think they'll do a big. I think they'll do a big cage match, or they'll probably pump something up really big there. No, I like. I like Zack Ryder to win the title here. I don't think they're gonna play around. I think he'll just win.
Okay, I agree. I think Zach wins here too. So,
okay.
All right. Next up, Cody Rhodes and Booker T for the IC title.
I definitely like Cody here. Booker's going to give him a great match. I think this might be the surprise match of the card.
Well, the foot on the rope outside. We couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Well, maybe there will be a foot on the ropes, Gorilla. You might be exactly right.
I mean, they've gotten good reviews on the house show circuit and everything else. So,
well, Booker's in great shape. So, I mean, he can get in the ring and do anything at any time. So, I think it'll be a good match, but Cody will keep the title. That's why Booker's here, to make Cody stronger. So, that's the whole point of this.
Yeah, there's no way. I can't see Booker winning the title.
No.
Although, who knows? They always do stupid shit like this. Remember all those King feuds where we always say, oh, there's no way King's going to win, and then he ends up beating, like, the young up-and-coming guy. So, who knows?
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't think that happens here, though. This is different, I think. I think Booker will give him a great match, but I think Cody keeps it. Unless CV Afi wins, who's in this yes. match right, and he's in this match right now with the great Steve Lombardi.
Oh, very nice.
In the pre Brooklyn Brawler stages. So,
all right. Next up is your boy Triple H and Kevin Nash in this Sledgehammer ladder match. Now, first of all, what do you expect from this match? Do you think they're gonna actually be all right in this?
I don't think this match would have been booked unless the two of them talked and said, you know, and Kevin, I'm serious. Can you do this? I still think it's funny when they were backstage and Otunga was talking to me, he goes, I don't do ladder matches. That just made me laugh. it's like such a shoot comment. Like, I don't do ladder matches.
You know, he's another guy that's kind of found his voice. I know we talked about this last week, but sometimes it takes this little gimmick, this little realistic gimmick to get guys going. And I think Otunga is this kind of nerdy little backstage lawyer that always uses, it kind of uses this legal speak and all this other stuff to get out of matches, and is just kind of the GM's little lackey. I think it's a good role for him. He fits it, and his little coffee mug and his bow ties are getting over too. So,
no, it is. He's essentially Clarence Mason on steroids. That's pretty much what he is.
So,
but in terms of the match itself, I think the two of them had to have talked about it. I'm sure they have and said, Kev, you know, can you do this? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't want you going up the ladder and then your fucking legs fall off. I mean, you know, can you do this? I think he's ready. Triple H will, I don't want to say protect him. Kevin Nash doesn't need protecting, but I think they'll work well with each other. I think they'll be all right. I don't see them using the ladder a lot. I don't think you're going to see Hardy's edge.
He'll tease it probably a lot where Nash is kind of hesitant to climb up it, and then, we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe this is somewhere where Waltman makes his return, helps out Nash, climbs the ladder for him, and gets a sledgehammer. You know, there's been a rumor that he might be coming in, so.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, I don't see Triple H losing this match, though. I don't think this feud's going to continue past the...
Do you think Nash is gone? I mean, what else is there for him to do, really, outside of this feud? Do you think he leaves? Or at least he won't be a regular, you think, if he loses this?
I'd like to think that... Because there is rumors that Hunter wants to send him down to Tampa to work with some of the big guys.
Yep.
That might be possible. And, you know... So, if he loses this match, he may be gone for a while. Maybe he'll go in the Rumble. You know, maybe he'll. No, you know what? Because I could see them putting him in the Chamber in February.
Yeah, possible. He might stick around through WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think he'll be one of the guys in the Chamber in February, and then. Which, by the way, now I'm officially disappointed because they talked about on Raw. You might have buzzed through it quickly, but they did talk about tickets going on sale for Elimination Chamber, and it is indeed at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, which kind of breaks my heart because all year they talked about it being at Hartford, and I really wanted to go. I've never seen a Chamber in person, so I've seen the Cell twice. But I've never seen a Chamber, so I'm kind of bummed. My friend Johnny Reckless and I were looking forward to going to the Chamber, and now we're not flying to Milwaukee. So, but yeah, Well, you know,
you
when
can be there for the Packers Super Bowl party.
For the Packers Super Bowl, yeah, exactly. I can get my own cheese head.
All right, let's keep rolling on through.
I think it'll be a good match. I think it'll be a good match. It won't be great. It'll be okay. It might be a little rough at times. It might be a little slow, but I think Triple H wins.
I think Triple H wins if they have no shenanigans, if it's straight up. If Waltman gets involved in any way, I could see Nash winning and them extending it a little bit. But if I'm picking to pick, I'll pick Triple H. Mark Henry and Big Show for the title on a chairs match. I think Henry retains. You know, they've been pushing Show pretty strongly, though, and almost making it like they want to give him a title run, but I can't see them taking it off Henry.
No, they've you and I have talked about this the last couple of weeks. Mark Henry has started to kind of lose his edge a little bit, but I don't think that means that they have lost any faith in him. I just think that, they're trying to make him look a little weak, the injury. And I think he comes out at TLC, and I think he beats Big Show. I don't think Big Show is going to have a title run. I don't think he's got any title runs left in him.
Now would be kind of the time for them to do it, but I don't think they should take it off Henry. I think they're going to keep him strong for... this has been a pretty good feud. I think Big Show's actually been pretty entertaining in this whole thing.
I agree.
And he's over. I'll give him that. So he's definitely working well. I don't think it's worth taking it off Henry. So, and then finally we have the main event is the TLC match, Punk, Miz, and Del Rio. And I think Punk retains. I think he's got it through Mania at this point.
No, I agree with you completely. I think it'll be a fun match. This match has nothing to do with Punk at all, in my opinion. For the guys backstage, this has to do with Del Rio, because we've been reading that Del Rio and Miz they're not on the shit list, because they've been busting their ass. But I don't think they're delivering the dividends on camera that they thought he would. But I don't blame either of those guys for that. Raw has been a very weird show this year. And when we talk about, we have our year-end special in a few weeks, we'll talk about how the Raw product has kind of ebbed and flowed. Punk's emergence, believe it or not, we've said this. This isn't a secret. Punk's emergence has really kind of screwed a lot of guys over in terms of things planned for them, and we've said this. If Punk kind of stayed where he was, I think Del Rio and Cena would probably have had a more extensive feud. And
right.
Gotten more time.
Yeah, I agree.
Punk has just blown everybody out of the water. And that's not
yeah, he forced himself into the picture for sure.
Yeah, and so I think this match Sunday has nothing to do with Punk.
And I quote.
What? You're gonna be the fourth guy in the match with your little creamy hairless body and your and your little singlet that's five sizes too small. I think this match has nothing to do with Punk or the title. This has to do with Del Rio and Miz showing that they do indeed belong. So I think the two of them are going to go all out. I really do. You might see a little blood. It is pay-per-view. They're allowed to bleed. And I think you'll see a little blood in this match. But Punk will win. But I think the match as a whole has nothing to do with Punk. It's about Miz and Del Rio kind of getting back on the Booker's confidence level, kind of raising the confidence level of those guys. So that's what I think. But Punk's going to win, definitely.
I agree. I think Punk retains here. And like I said, I think they want him to keep it through Mania at this point. So
yep, I agree.
All right, let's quickly. We got one of the piece here, John Cena. There was a story. I think we talked about this actually already, but his role at TLC on Sunday, talk over the weekend that they make him the special referee for the U.S. title match, and a stipulation where Cena would get added to the main event if Ryder were to lose the match or something crazy like that. So they haven't announced it yet. So unless they have it, is the last minute thing. But we actually talked about this on the phone yesterday before the show. Wondering if they should do something just basically like they used to do back in 96. You just have him there, and he maybe announces the main event like, you know, Brett and Shawn did a couple times in 96 and 95. So that might be something they could do to mix things up a little bit. Instead of having him wrestle for this one show, just have him kind of, announce the main event and set things up. So or may have a confrontation with Kane. Who knows? So there's a few things they could do. So
yeah,
I don't know the last time he wasn't advertised for a match on a show for which he was healthy during.
I know. It's got to be. Oh, God, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, probably.
I would say since, like, 2004, probably, is the last time.
I know, because it seems like over the last 5 years, he's either been hurt or he's been champion.
Right. Yeah.
So there's no in-between.
Yep.
Or number one contender. But if he's on camera, I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're going to add any matches or any of that kind of jazz. So
I don't think they'll add another match. I think he'd either just be inserted into the main event or have a role in the U.S. title match, you know, or just something where maybe he cuts a promo and Kane comes out or something. So, all right, let's get just a few quick network notes, and then we'll move on to the news. WWE okay. officials are looking at the possibility of doing a daily talk show on the new network. It would be simulcast as a radio show as well. WWE's Scott Stanford is being talked about as a possible host for the show, but he may be paired up with guest hosts because of concern he may not have enough knowledge of the product to pull it off. It would be for a few hours each day, and the word is to plan to make it completely kayfabe, which I think wouldn't be a bad idea. Kind of have guys on in character. It'd almost be like an old TNT kind of thing.
Right. I got to be honest with you, though, and I'm dead serious when I say this. This is it's not a complete joke. You can laugh if you want, and our PTB Nation may find it funny. But I don't think there's – could this scenario of a daily kayfabe talk show fit you and I any better?
I know, huh?
I really do think that that show would be perfectly set for you and I to co-host.
Let's go. Start dropping off some tapes. You're right there with them.
I got to talk to them because I think you and I would be perfect because, A – we know what we're talking about, duh. And B, who would want to get kayfabe? You and I'd be awesome, you know. I mean, have like, you know, just doing the real interviews, and you don't want to. That's the kind of show that'd be fun. You don't want to go there and have be like a pseudo shoot because that gets dull after a while.
No, yeah, I think it could work in kayfabe. Like I said, I think it would be very similar to TNT, and it'd be cool for the simulcast on the radio. So I mean, they have a lot of good ideas. You know, there's just a lot of stories out there as if, you know, they can be successful or profitable based on penetration and networks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One negative aspect of this, sadly for us, is it looks like WWE Classics On Demand, formerly WWE 24/7, is biting the dust thanks to the network.
Yep.
AT&T UVerse subscribers received postcards today. In the stories from a few days ago, stating the service would be discontinued January 1st. The postcards read, the service is being discontinued by WWE. However, on the website, they're running a video preview for January built around rebellious personalities that was meant to be next month's theme. Every month has a theme on there.
Right.
And, of course, the network or the on-demand launched November 2nd, 2004. So it's already been 7 years that that's been around.
So we missed what?
A year. I started in late September 05.
Yeah, late September 05. And, you know, it's sad because, like I said, to get myself motivated for our casts, I know he does it too. Usually I have something rolling in the background just to kind of keep the mood going. And, you know, I got an awesome prime time going in the background with Bigelow. This is late, like fall of 87. It's part of the whole who's going to be Bigelow's manager. And
yep.
your boy's got a great promo here with Slick and Craig DeGeorge. And
yeah, and I just love throwing it on at night, too, when I'm going to bed. I'll throw on the Raw Nitro. And like we said, they're finally getting to the Raws that I don't remember that well from late 98 because I was just starting college. And just when they're finally getting to the ones I've really been dying to see, they're gonna stop. So,
but I told you that that I'd read something else that said that other cable outlets are saying that they're not actually going to shut it off until the day before.
Right, and this is the other news note I had here regarding WWE discontinuing Classics on Demand to help bolster the strength of the network. Subscribers to the video on demand are receiving postcards saying it'll be discontinued January 1st, but some cable operators are telling their customers will not be discontinued until March 31st, 2012, which is the day before they launch. So that makes more sense to me. Why waste those 3 months of revenue if they can keep it going?
Yeah, exactly.
And they already own all the stuff, so they don't have to put any extra work into it. So, I mean, I hope it sticks around for these next few months. And like I said, I kind of wish they would just empty the vaults a little bit and just throw a whole bunch of crap up instead of sticking to the format, but yeah. I don't see that happening. So any other network stuff you wanted to talk about?
Well, let me tell you something. That's a couple of things from within the building. I told you something yesterday off air that I thought you thought that you thought was hilarious, and I thought was awesome. For those again, just for those that are new to the Place to Be podcast, welcome. But as you know, for those that do listen consistently, the company that I work for in Stamford, which is by the way, it's about a minute away from Titan Towers. The WWE Network is going to be run out of our facility. So I'm going to be – and my client, CBS Sports, our new master control room is going to be right next door. So I could – when we're live with events, I can just pop out, look in, peek what's going on, come back the other way. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But their master control room is huge. It's about – our two rooms are gigantic. They blew out some walls, and it's going to be big. But the interesting tidbit I heard yesterday that I think everybody will find pretty funny, talking with one of my supervisors he told me that he heard through the grapevine that WWE is bringing their own decorator in to fix the room up. And I don't know how it's going to look. And I don't know if it's going to be all four walls or just the wall on the side of the front door, the door to walk into the master control room. But apparently, the room is going to be a steel cage.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I think I could throw Matt Rotella into it every day. And secondly,
bust his bald head open.
Yeah, exactly. Just start pummeling him. It'll be tremendous. It'll be great. But just they're definitely getting ready for it. But 3.5 months is reading some other tidbits. 3.5 months is not a long time.
No.
To fire a network off. But as you know, although this, and our man Dr. G, the Yes Network, which is goes out of our building as well, they signed the contract in late January of 2002 and launched in April.
Yep, so same pattern a little bit. So.
Yeah, so, but again, we're talking about, as you know.
They also had Yankee games. I mean, no.
Well, yeah, that too. Plus, but the other thing is they also had people working for them that they hired that were in the industry for 25 years.
Right, right.
Saying, apparently jobs are still trying to be filled. There's a lot of stuff. The process is very slow, so I'll keep it here. Keep it here to the Place to Be podcast. I'll keep you updated on what's going on. As information starts matriculating throughout the building on when they're going to launch, when I start seeing shows, or whoever's going to be running the network. It won't be me, but that's okay. I'll still have my hands on the programming, so don't you worry. You'll hear it here first before even on your on your TV. But I'll keep it up. But apparently their room is going to be nice and big, and they are going to decorate it, so I'm sure it'll be very pretty. If they bring belts in, they better lock the door. Because cool. If I'm working it overnight, they're going to disappear. So
you might not want to say that on this recorded program. But
well, that's true, too.
All right, so with that, we wrap up our network chat, our Raw SmackDown TLC preview. And with that, why don't you set us up?
We are going to take a break, take a breather. And when we come back, we will go through the news and notes. A lot of news to go over. Let's see. We got 12 news tidbits to bring you, and from around wrestling, TNA, WWE, all over the place. But we will take a break and listen to our good friends from WrestleChat.net, and that is because
recover. I can recuperate. Well, I'm beyond that. I am so upset at the actions that are going on in the World Wrestling Federation, especially from your so-called family, that it's just a matter of time. Like I said before, I said it to you, Mean Gene, I said it to everybody. It's just a matter of time when Ken Patera gets in full gear and runs the World Wrestling Federation, or rids the World Wrestling Federation of the likes of you, Weasel, and King Kong Bundy, Ray, Hercules, Orndorff, all of you. You're all going to go down one by one, and I'm going to make sure of that. For the whipping that you gave me, whip me like a red-headed stepson, I'm sick and tired of that type of treatment. And when I get ready, when I'm in full gear, Heenan, Weasel, whatever you guys want to do, just bring it on, because I'm...
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
And I'll tell you right now, I bet you Eric Gargiulo wishes he was at ringside for this match that's on right now between SD Jones and Scott Casey against The Shadows.
Oh, geez. This is going to beat him like a red-headed stepson.
Stepson and Klorndorff and Kling Kong Klundy.
I love how he calls Hercules Ray. That was the best part. And Ray, Hercules.
Is that his name, Ray Hercules? Is that when he leaves in hotels for all of his lady friends?
That is of course, the epic Ken Patera promo. If you've never seen it, check it out on YouTube, because Mean Gene is dying, trying not to laugh in his face as he's struggling through the promo.
Such a disaster. But two guys who, besides you and I, who can always cut a good promo, and that is, of course, Eric Gargiulo and the champ, Jeff Peck.
But you know, and I know, that you are only half the man that I am.
For a guy who was incredibly intimidating, he had like a fourth grade education.
Yes.
We love the psycho.
And by the way, if there's any clips anyone wants to hear, send me a message on Facebook, because our man Derek LaRue, our technical director, has now shown me his tricks, and I'm able to go through and cultivate and cull together my own clips. So if there's anything anyone wants to hear, any classic little comedy bits or any funny audio from wrestling or sports or TV that you want to hear, let me know, and I'll work it into the mix.
Yeah, I noticed some new tidbits tonight. Very, very good and very entertaining. But also entertaining is WrestleChat.net. Great site. All your news and notes. Everything you need to know. WWE, TNA, some UFC. Great message board. Of course, the champ and his announcer doing their awesome podcast. And of course, if you're on the front page, you see the PTB gnome on the right. Click on it. You can go right to our Podbean site and listen to us. So WrestleChat.net, your home for everything. Everything pro wrestling. All right, ready?
Ready.
Let's get started. I have the first news story up.
He's coming at you!
What I love most about that is the way just Vince's voice, here! it's just so funny. Anyway, number one. As seen on last night's Raw Super Show, Triple H brought up The Undertaker's absence and declared that the streak ended at WrestleMania 27 because we haven't seen the dead man since then and he couldn't leave the ring on his own. The Wrestling Observer reports, which is, of course, Dave Meltzer, the Triple H versus The Undertaker is booked as one of the matches at WrestleMania 28 in Miami. We noted yesterday that officials have Chris Jericho versus CM Punk for the WWE title also penciled in for WrestleMania 28. Add The Rock versus John Cena, and there is your triple main event for sunny Miami. What do you think?
You know, I can't say I'm, like, super excited for it, but it does make sense on many levels for them to do it. I don't see who else Taker really can fight. There's one guy who I thought maybe, but as we'll see in a minute, he's involved elsewhere. And or did you already mention it? Did you just say it? I'm sorry, the Jericho thing?
I did.
Okay, that's part of that. So, yeah. Jericho was the only other guy I thought that was maybe a possibility for him. But as I thought originally, he was going to fight CM Punk. So I don't see anyone else really on Taker's radar for him to fight. So I would definitely say that this works the best, I guess. And we'll have to see if they add a gimmick or if they end up making his retirement match for Triple H. They're going to have to do something other than just having a regular standard match after having a street fight last year. So,
yeah.
You don't think they'd bust the sellout for Mania, do you?
No. No. Not if the show is... I mean, Triple H could do what he wants, and actually, both of them could do what they want. If they say they want to sell, they're going to get a sell. But with the whole pay-per-view, unless they change it next year, which has not been rumored, I don't see a sell. Nah. I think they want that to be... You don't want to totally overwhelm. They want Punk. They want Cena, Rock to
right,
be the
yeah.
match.
So, that yeah, that can't be so, lasted. Well, you wonder, will Triple H want to work on the undercard in his retirement match? Or maybe he won't make this a retirement stipulation. Do you think he'd really go out in the middle of the card like that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
And that could Rock, be 3 years in a row. Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. There's Rock, no way that's not going to be last.
No, that has to be last, regardless of who wins. So maybe it's not his retirement match. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
We'll have to see how things progress.
So. He wants, I'm sure he wants what Sean got. And I get the same feeling. The reason I say that is because you and I talked about Triple H's DVD, which is coming, which is tentatively scheduled to come out. I think it's March 12th or March 13th, which is about, what, 3 weeks before 28.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel it's almost the same as 2 years ago with Sean when My Journey came out. And I even said to Johnny Reckless, I said to you, I said, what, does this seem kind of weird to you? Because when that came out, the retirement stip, I don't think it had been announced yet. So I thought, oh, this is interesting.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, Flair, you know, Flair went retired in the middle of the show, so I guess it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, if and Flair's his boy, so if Flair could do it, so can he. So we'll see. But it's definitely not going to be the main event. So that's why I don't think they'll do a sell or any kind of ridiculous.
Well, they have to do something. I mean, they can't do a straight match after doing a street fight.
No, I agree. Speaking of Taker, I said...
He's got a puke!
Well... you know, if he gets kicked, you know, I don't know, maybe it'd be too humid that night. Maybe they won't.
I would have if you're going to have to last year's match off some of those hits they took.
No kidding. Quickly, I had said, you kept saying that Taker was going to fight Jericho. My dream match was to see one more violent garbage destruction match between him and Foley. But Mick has said that we are talking about
the Foley thing. I started on the show, not you. I said that I wanted to see Punk Jericho from the beginning. Remember my whole Punk Jericho is my pick to win the Rumble thing?
Yes. No, you did. And Johnny Reckless kind of rolled with it. And then
Fuck
you
Johnny
stopped
Reckless.
Talking about it. And you stopped talking about it. And so I kind of kept rolling with it. So, you know. But the fact remains is I wanted to see it.
He's got a puke!
And so it's not going to happen. Incidentally, Mick Foley was on a Long Island radio station this morning because he's doing a stand-up act tonight. At some place out in Long Island somewhere. So that's going on tonight.
I'm sure Zack Ryder will be involved with that.
Yeah, and he's on with 3 other comedians. It's like a one of those comedy review kind of shows. So.
Mr. Grisbolo, Al Giante here, checking in for the night. And
I take issue and umbrage to you calling out your partner and taking his ideas and claims for your own, and then invoking the name of this loser a-hole, Johnny Reckless. I don't even know who this man is. I hear he did some show back in the day with you or some nonsense. You know, you can't just bring up these made-up guys onto the show. You know, it's for real people like me and you and Eric Gajulos and Derek LaRouche.
Ladies and gentlemen, as usual, always coming in at precisely the right or wrong time, and that is, of course, our Argentinian lover boy, El Gigante. Listen, all I'm saying is that I think, look, maybe you are part of the streak. You are part of history. You do know that, right?
I started my own streak, the streak of making The Undertaker look like shit at WrestleMania. That was my goal, to go into that match and no sell for that loser and that asshole. And put him out with the chloroforms. Me and Dr. Javis, we went in there and took care of business. And The Undertaker, you know, he likes to pal around Ludwig Borger in Finland. And those pricks in J.R. Senior D'Amato, they try and be tough guys. But, you know, down in Argentina, we don't like those kind of guys. We like to be peace and love. We're not looking to be haters.
I heard that you and Harvey are working out some kind of escort agency down in
downtown Bruno. Harvey Whippleman, he's quite the guy.
Yeah, I heard you guys working a little, Buenos Aires escort agency there, hiring some guys to take care of the
he's a cool guy and a smart guy, but he's not the best looking fella, Harvey. Only one man makes Harvey look like a Fabios, and that is Matt Rotella.
Oh, that's of course, yes.
The bald wonder.
So listen, I've heard, and we're gonna keep this rumor going. This rumor going, El Gigante, that you indeed are one of the choices to be in the Legends House.
Now, is this true? Do they have wheelchair access?
It is entirely possible, yes. I mean, if the Iron Sheik's going to be on the show, I guess they have to.
Oh, fuck the Iron Sheik. Iran is up there with Finland, with the biggest pricks in the world. I don't care for the Middle East. I don't care for the Far East. I only care for South America.
Okay.
Matt Rotella's bathhouse going to be part of the Legends House?
I have a feeling that Matt Rotella's bathhouse might be his own. It might be its own show on the network. It'll only run during the overnight, though.
Did you know that he has a Skinamax movie? Matt Rotella's The Bathhouse Dreams 3.
And apparently, that starts. You were supposed to have a cameo in that, but instead, it went to Waylon Mercy.
Waylon Mercy. He's in that movie.
Yes, I heard. Yeah, it was supposed to be you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. But El Gigante, look. We're going to keep it going. We're going to get you in the Legends House. You want to be there. We'll get your feet. We'll give you a good finder's fee. You are going to be in the Legends House.
And just make sure my wheelchair can get up the ramp, and we'll be good to go, and make sure they have an extra large bed for me and my ladies.
There'll be plenty of ladies.
Good night.
Good night. We got to work on that, because he's going to come back every week and bust our balls. So
you sounded a little hoarse tonight. I don't know.
He did. Yeah,
I think he needed a lozenge or something.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he was doing a concert on the beach. I don't know. It's very interesting. But anyway, moving on. The Undertaker versus Triple H is in.
You know, hang on, because I want to give a quick plug for a YouTube. I don't do this often, but there is a tremendous YouTube video. I don't know if you got to watch it today. I sent it to you.
I did.
I had tears in my eyes watching this fucking thing. type in "Move Bitch Barney," and it is the song "Move Bitch" by Ludacris, and. And it sets all Barney clips, Barney the Dinosaur. And the timing of this video with the kids is just amazing.
Perfectly symmetrical. Yes.
You know what? I'll have to post it on the Facebook page, because you guys got to check this thing out. I was dying. I was literally, I could not stop laughing. I was in tears.
It is absolutely hilarious. It is. All right. So, yes. And Taker will return early 2012, obviously, to pick back up on the feud. I don't know when or what they'll do. Maybe he comes back at the Rumble. Maybe Triple H will be in the Rumble. Who knows? We'll see what happens. So, enough on Taker and Triple H.
Yes, let's move on.
As time progresses. All right, next news hit, number three. Huge update on this particular gentleman. And we've already mentioned him in the first couple of news hits. As noted a minute ago, Chris Jericho is scheduled to make his return to WWE at the January 2nd, 2012 Raw Super Show from Nashville, Tennessee. The latest word from within WWE is that Jericho will be a part of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view and likely into the 30-man main event. Now, currently penciled into the plans, we just mentioned it, is a feud between him and Punk and a match at WrestleMania 28.
Now, I think that would be an awesome feud. I think it would be awesome promos. I think it would be an awesome match. And I can definitely see Jericho, the one thing he's never done is win the Rumble. So I think he's going to win the Rumble, and that's how he's going to get the title match with Punk.
Okay. Now, he could win the Rumble and not have to. Now, the only other thing I could see happening is somebody else winning the Rumble for something else, Jericho winning the Chamber, and then have Jericho Punk at Mania with Punk chasing the title.
That's possible. I think it's too much convolution there. And okay. You know, Jericho's already done that with the Chamber where he came out and stole the title. So I think they really want to keep Punk strong going into Mania. I think he wins and actually ends up retaining at Mania. Okay. I think Jericho's just going to come in to really put him over at Mania.
Okay. Now, continuing on with Jericho, next news note, Jericho responded on Twitter to reports of his return feud and calls him bogus, weak journalism.
He's still just working it.
Yeah, he is. He's working it. He's slated all these weird vignettes that are being played both on YouTube and on now on the shows.
But what do you think the girl in the new one is meant to be? You think he's going to have a valet or something?
I don't know. I got to watch it again. I'm a little concerned. Maybe it's one of El Gigante's friends. Maybe he'll show up in Miami and defeat the punks, and you know, you never know. I don't know.
To your big buddy, Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
You think the two will be? That would be funny if the two of them. You know, there'll be some kind of backstage skit between the two of them.
Yeah, I hope so.
That'd be pretty funny. But I don't know. I can't see him with a valet. I don't know. He's such a dynamic personality.
He said if he comes back, it's going to be something completely different. Maybe he'll bring the chick from Dancing with the Stars with him.
Yeah, maybe he'll bring back Ralphus. Who knows?
That'll be interesting because he did say when he's been on The Law before that when he does come back, he wants to completely reinvent himself like he did last time. He wants to stay ahead of the game. So. I don't know. Maybe he will have a chick with him. We'll see. I mean, that was what the little video was. It was like, you know, I will return to bring him to the whatever. You know, it was the girl reading the thing. So
right.
We'll see. It was interesting.
Very interesting. Yes. Now, again, regarding this return, it's believed that he will only be back for a temporary run, but that's not confirmed. You know, maybe he'll wrestle for the year and then leave. We'll have to wait and see. Very interesting. So. So we got a couple of matches penciled in, and I think after this TLC pay-per-view, we'll start to see the matriculation of these two matches as we get into the new year.
Agree.
This next story is what I talked about earlier on when you and I were doing our TLC picks.
That's gotta be Kane!
Well, we did mention that, but this has nothing to do with him. It said that Alberto Del Rio's stock isn't as high as it was a few months ago within WWE. There's a feeling that Raw is lacking a top heel, and while The Miz is good, he's not seen as someone who can be the brand-carrying heel, which I completely disagree with. Del Rio was supposed to be that heel, but the feeling is he's not quite at that level either. And I'm sorry.
Del Rio's just a little bit older. I think Miz relates more. I think he's more of a guy that you can look to for being part of the future. I think Del Rio's an important part of the future, too, but I think Miz is really a guy that can be a standard bearer for a show.
But like I said earlier when we were doing our TLC picks, is that I think that those two guys Miz, first of all, had his chance. He dominated Raw the first 4 months of the year from January.
Right. Yeah, but he was always – I mean, yeah, he had a good run, but he was always behind Cena. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that plus the fact that, Rock was getting in the way and that kind of thing. So not getting in the way, but, you know, he had to be part of this, and it kind of drowned him out a little bit. Del Rio just – and I said this while we were doing our picks, Punk's emergence after, you know, in late June, early July, just completely blew everything out of the water for what I think they had planned for the last 6 months of the year. So the fact that they're blaming that they think Del Rio is not doing what they thought he was going to be doing is not his fault. It's nobody's fault. It's just fate. Look at how many times he's been set up for something and then.
They stopped and started him so many times, starting at WrestleMania, and it just went on from there until they finally gave him the title at SummerSlam. So.
Yeah, no, it's not his fault, and that's why I said that I think this match on Sunday. I like you too, JR. I think that Del Rio and Miz have a lot to prove on Sunday in their match with Punk. So, moving on to more rumored stuff to go on April 1st in Miami. Goldust continues to campaign for an Intercontinental title versus career match against his brother Cody Rhodes for WrestleMania 28. Goldust is now saying that he wants it to be a Miami street fight. I think that'd be very funny because I think leading up to the show, you could see Goldust walking around like the, you know, in the bars in South Beach with his, you know, with his outfit and his wig on and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think they could even play into the Booker thing with him too. You know, him and Booker have that past together, so they could kind of work together a feud with Cody. Now, I'd be surprised though if he won. I can't believe he wants, unless he's assuming maybe he would end up winning the title and then losing it back to Cody, but. You know, he's doing all this rehab to come back from this injury, and then he's just going to retire at WrestleMania. That part of it is kind of weird. I do think they should go ahead and have the match, though. I think it would be good if Cody goes on this almost little, like, Legends Killer run of his own now. So we'll see where they end up with it. But, you know, I'm all for it. I like Goldust. He worked really hard the last couple of years on Superstars before he got hurt. So I think he'd definitely deserve a little WrestleMania match.
Yes. I got a JR dream match here on this primetime. The Heenan family in an 8-man tag.
Nice.
You never saw that very often.
I think I have seen that match, though, that you're talking about.
It's the one with Brady Boone and SG Jones. And,
yes.
Who's this guy? Ray Hercules. He's in the ring, too. I don't know. Maybe Patero run in with his creamy legs and his prosthetic knee braces. Who knows? All right. Anyway. Next up, Rey Mysterio was telling people at the WWE TV tapings, remember, because we mentioned he was at Raw Monday night, that he isn't rushing himself to return and risk messing up his surgery. He is looking at returning to the ring in May, so he will miss WrestleMania. And this sentence is very telling, okay, about this guy. Regarding Sin Cara, he's been telling people that he will be back in 4 months and will be back in time for WrestleMania because, quote, he doesn't want to miss the payday. That's weak.
Yeah, he should be saying, I don't want to miss the show, obviously, but, you know, whatever. I mean, I'd be shocked if he's back that soon. I mean, he must be rehabbing like crazy. So payday or not, he's still busting his ass to get back, which he could just be sitting there and collecting money. So obviously Ray isn't going to be back. So there were rumors that maybe they were going to do the mask thing with Kane, still trying to break that record, but that was shot down. So
okay. Next up, and this is a good news story. I like this a lot. This makes me feel good about the future. Triple H's changes to WWE developmental that have been discussed for months look to be happening soon. Matt Matalaro, who's been working hands-on in FCW, including as an announcer, is now working at headquarters in Stanford, right down the street from me, with the creative team. His role is to help coordinate debuts and new characters being called up. That is a very, at this stage of the game, that is a very important job.
Yep.
Triple H has the plan of not calling anyone up unless creative has a good idea for their character and a long-term idea of what to do with them.
Yep, that's a very good idea. They need to do that because they waste so many guys who are bringing them up. They don't do anything. They shit the bed, and then that's it.
Yeah. See Kizarni.
Yes.
Which Matt Rotella still thinks was WWE's fault that they didn't push him right.
No, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
He's a Kiz idiot.
Yeah. You know what? Kiz idiot is just as good as all those other words that you can never pronounce.
Yeah.
So, all right. This new story kind of concerns me. Kind of weird. I wonder what PTB Nation thinks of this. John Cena opened up about his personal life on Twitter this weekend, revealing to his fans that wrestling has gotten him through a very difficult month. He tweeted, at John Cena is his tag, quote, "Very difficult month for me personally. It's times like these that I see truly how much I love wrestling. I am truly thankful for what I do, adapt, overcome, and now more than ever before rise above hate. I effing love you guys, even the ones that hate my guts. You get me through each day, thick and thin. Thank you for everything. Thank you." On Saturday, Jim Ross was asked by one of his Twitter followers, "Got to ask you a question. Is John Cena really the hardest working wrestler in the WWE?" He responded, "No one works harder." I don't disagree with that.
No, and that's been corroborated by more than just JR at this point. We've seen many guys talk about that, that Cena's busts his ass and works hard, and no one ever questions that. The thing that bothers people with Cena is just the his character and where that's going and his pushing and, you know, and all that stuff. No one ever doubts what kind of guy he is.
Right.
Outside of the ring. So I think that's fine.
Hopefully
he's okay. I mean, we know it's nothing with his dad, obviously, because we actually saw him on Raw a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, I know he was recently married in the last couple of years, so maybe it's a possibility that he's having issues there, always being on the road. I hate to speculate because we really don't know. So maybe we should leave it at that. And not really. I don't want to start any rumors or anything stupid. So hopefully he's okay. So hopefully he gets better. Everything we've ever heard is that he's a generally nice guy. So, you know, I hope nothing but the best for Cena.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he just wants what's good for the company. So that's all that counts. All right. Last note. Returning to WWE after a more than 2-year hiatus, Lillian Garcia appeared on Friday's episode of SmackDown as the program's new ring announcer. Tony Chimmel introduced Garcia to the live audience at the start of the broadcast, who was already standing in the ring. As talked about how great it was to be back, she was interrupted by Cody Rhodes, who was standing at the announce table. Rhodes said no one cares she is back since no one noticed she had left. Garcia danced with Hornswoggle later during the show, which gave commentator Michael Cole the opportunity to air a crass backstage joke. He cracked, quote, "I wish these two would stop horsing around." And this goes back to something that I used to be not very pleased with.
Yeah, well, you're a boy.
Yeah, well, I say, and I didn't deny it. The reference stems from those in WWE's inner circle, Vince, Triple H, Kevin Dunn, and JBL, often joking that Garcia was a horse-shaped face. The crass joke was passed around backstage years ago and ultimately acknowledged in television to amuse company employees. That's mature. Mm. Though Garcia has publicly taken the joke in stride, Mick Foley took offense to Hunter demeaning the Decade Diva during an episode of Raw last year in which she had filled in for, and I remember that's the clip I was talking about.
Right.
He wrote online after watching on television Triple H tell Garcia she can always turn WWE to horse around. Why does someone like Triple H, one of the most talented, well-paid guys in the business, do something that's shallow and mean and blah, 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 and fully went on. The latest reference was likely directed by Triple H, who filled in for McMahon at Tuesday SmackDown taping while Vince was off serving in Afghanistan. Not serving, but serving. Well, it says you visiting armed forces serving in Afghanistan. Yes, Vince had a helmet on and a gun.
I wouldn't put a bastard to go out there and start wrecking people.
Oh, absolutely. Cole is the mouthpiece of the program director, and he is fed lines via headset. It was not the only mean-spirited remark on Friday's show, as Cole made light of Jim Ross suffering from Bell's palsy after Josh Matthews said Cole speaks out of both sides of his mouth. Cole quipped, "Actually, there's nothing wrong with my mouth, unlike JR's." I don't think Triple H got him to say that, because Triple H likes JR a lot. But the Lillian stuff is just bullshit. It's just mean, it's childish, it's stupid. And I think it needs to stop. And I remember that joke. I remember Triple H even saying even more directly about her horse face. I think he said something about her having a horse face. Oh, there is commentary.
Yeah, he did. He said it. Yeah. He said it on camera before.
On camera before. It's stupid. It's childish. It's mean.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought her back and just to humiliate her again. So nonsense. And the Cole thing is not much better. You know, we've been through that route. We went through all the crap with Ed Ferrara and those idiots in WCW mocking JR.
Grow the fuck up. All right, yeah. Move on. We got you got more important things to worry about than. Oh, and incidentally, a side note, you talked about it. Apparently Zack Ryder is with Foley at that
Okay, I figured. I had a feeling.
Yeah, so. So there's your news and notes.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. And, you know, we'll keep tabs on the network, and obviously we'll keep tabs on the WrestleMania build. We got a lot of time to talk about it, but we hope you all stay with us and our good friends at WrestleChat.net bring in the goods. So, now, to wrap up the show, we normally don't do this last, but obviously we have a special week. We will wrap up the show with your only and greatest interactive segment in podcast history.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
That grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
All right. Our defending Asshole of the Week was the... We still haven't gotten.
Oh, we do this every week. I'm Greenhouse, so glad PTB Nation is. Where are you, Greenhouse?
Yeah, come on. I believe it was something to do with the NBA, I think.
No, you think that every week. I don't think it
That's
was.
That's true. I don't know. Can't remember who the. I don't know who it was.
All right, Jason Greenhouse, please. Get on this.
Get on this, please. We appreciate all the wonderful love and all the great. But we actually need this to keep the show going.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm going to find the. Is this it here? Okay, here we go. Plans of plans this week. I'm just trying to find the...
Yeah, it starts with Jay Hinchy.
Okay. All right, here we go. Here is our picks for... our picks, but here is our PTB Nation and their nominations for this week's Asshole of the Week. Jay Hinchy says, I have a couple of assholes of the week. Cincinnati Xavier for that brawl. TNA having the Iron Man match end in a draw on the pay-per-view. And the Cowboys in general for being overrated. Okay.
Brian Anderson, it is clearly the Cincinnati and Xavier teams. They should have the rest of their season canceled.
Jason Greenhouse, who should not be allowed to comment until he does give us a tote board of the winners. This might have been the biggest week for assholes. David Stern and the NBA for rejecting the Chris Paul trade. The Cincinnati and Xavier men's basketball teams for being unprofessional pieces of shit. Or perhaps Albert Pujols for taking his talents to Long Beach. If I had to go with one choice, it has to be Ryan Braun.
I'm going to hold reservation. We talked about it yesterday on Braun. I got to see first, you know, if where things go. So before I proclaim him asshole. Corey Ferreira, asshole of the week has to be Stern in the NBA for the whole Chris Paul saga over the weekend. Honestly, vetoing the deal, then the new deal not working. In the end, the Lakers got screwed. We lost Odom to the Mavs. We didn't get CP3. What a fucking lame situation the NBA has right before the start of the season.
Okay. The bane of El Gigante's existence, J. Arsenio D'Amato. Referee John Parry for missing a blatant face mask penalty in the final play of the Lions-Vikings game. A huge call with playoff implications was missed.
Yeah, I agree with that one. That was a pretty bad one, and that definitely had pretty big implications. So, Mike Wilkinson, I'm not saying Braun yet. I think we need to be careful with this possible appeal is done. We villainize him, so I will go Stern for blocking the Paul trade and effing the Hornets.
Okay. Brian Anderson, how can anyone other than the Xavier and Cincinnati players be considered? I'm a huge basketball, not NBA fan. And I'm almost to the point of being offended by what the game is turning into. Calling your team gangsters in the post-game press conference. Wow. Thinking it is appropriate to trash talk because the one team said that you were not good enough to start for them. Grow up. Then saying that your team motto is to zip people up. If I coached either of these teams, their shoes and maybe even the gym floor would be worn down because they ran so much. I think the coaches deserve a lot of blame. Also, the player who sucker-punched the big man should be at the very least banned from ever playing again and should also be arrested. All of this, and these idiots get a free education at room and board.
Well, Cincinnati's, Cincinnati's always been a group of thugs ever since the Huggins days, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a nasty brawl.
It was. The guy they're talking about is Tu Holloway, who's a great player, but he's the one that started the yapping, and then the whole, the whole brawl started, and then the kid Freeze, I don't know who threw the punch, but the kid Freeze was the one that took the shot to the face, and his eye was pretty much hanging. It was like Vader at Final Four.
It was pretty gross.
Hanging out of his head. It was pretty nasty.
And Xavier held on to win, and they are currently eighth in the nation. So,
yes, not a good team, but this is not good.
Steve Gross, for the dumbasses who concocted the opening skin of Raw. So lame, tired of the Cole JR shit. Great show otherwise.
Okay. Jason Greenhouse again. Well, no wonder he's not putting up the toe 40s. Look at all this writing.
I don't think you need to. I think we can just recap this. I don't think you need to read the whole thing.
Okay.
He just posted the news article. I'll just sum it up quickly. Courtesy of NewYorkPost.com, a diehard New York Jets fan was savagely beaten on his own turf by drunken a group of Chiefs fans. They were taunting him about 9/11, saying that New York got what they deserved. James Moore, 23, the phys ed teacher from the Bronx, was kind of giving shit back to them. And the thugs kind of ended up jumping him, and they got into a fight and beat the crap out of him. He has a fractured jaw, cheekbone, and eye socket, and the beatdown is bleeding in his brain. He's in the ICU unit right now, underwent hours of surgery. So, and the state police upgraded charges against the New Jersey man accused of beating the fan after the Jets beat the Chiefs. So another stupid parking lot fight after a game. Unneeded.
Yeah.
Unneeded.
No, absolutely unneeded. And Brian Anderson says that at the bottom. What is it with all these fights after sporting events? People need to calm down, stop drinking, and grow up. And we agree. Going back to that stupid brawl out in Dodger Stadium after the Giants-Dodgers.
Yep.
Then there was that that preseason fight between Raider fans and Niner fans. Remember that?
Yep.
That was embarrassingly stupid. I mean, just – and then, of course, it happens all the time in Europe. And I got to talk to our man, the hot Scott there here in Poland. Huh?
Mainly Finland, a lot of that happens.
Yeah, well, they're bastards anyway. But, I mean, all all these soccer brawls and people getting killed and thrown off bleachers, and it's a disaster. I believe there were a few more comments up top, right? Let me find the other
– No, I think those were commenting about the show last night.
Okay, so there was all of them. Okay. A lot of people like the Cincinnati Xavier teams, although David Stern, that seems to be where the two...
Yeah, but I think that, to me, that kind of gets a pass because, not a pass, it was still, he was still a dick for what he did, but in the end, the Lakers got hosed, but I think the Hornets ended up, we talked about this last night, I think they ended up benefiting in the end, and
Lakers, for that matter.
Yeah, I think the trade ended up being fair. I got to go with the Cincy and Xavier. That was an ugly brawl that really took basketball back a step down that didn't need to be. Like I said, since he's a group of thugs anyway, so I'm going to go with that, with the Chiefs 9/11 attackers being up there as well as a close second. But I will give it to Xavier and Cincinnati for that mindless, stupid brawl.
Yeah. No, I mean, and sad thing is I like Xavier a lot. I think they're a good school, good team. Their coach, they're really having one of their best seasons, and to do this is just – and I expect more out of Tu Holloway. The kid's a senior. Mm-hmm. He's having a great career at Xavier. Why do you got to bring back – you know, why do you got to dig up dirt? Just let it go. I mean, I'm sure – I mean, these two campuses are like 15 minutes away from each other.
Oh, yeah. It's a big rivalry. I was talking to a guy I know that works in our Kentucky office that's right on the border, Cincinnati. He's a big Xavier fan. He's got season tickets.
Oh,
and yeah, he's you know, he was building up this game as a big one for Xavier. It's always a big rivalry game. So yeah, those two schools obviously have a lot of bad blood between them. So.
Yeah, so I'm sure that wasn't the only fight, the first fight they've ever had, but that one's just ridiculous. And yeah. You know, that poor. Hopefully the kid freezes all right, but mm-hmm. that kid that threw the punch. I mean, yeah, you gotta you know, he's got to take some responsibility. So we'll see what. I can't remember who the head coach of Cincinnati. Cronin?
Mick Cronin, yeah.
Is Mick Cronin still the head coach? And I, you know what? I'm blanking on who the head coach of Xavier is. That doesn't matter. But, you know, those guys, they definitely need to be. Tu mm-hmm. Holloway definitely needs to be. I think he's suspended for a game. The head coach of Xavier did lay out suspensions.
Right.
So guys will miss some games. So okay. There's no doubt about that. So,
oh, they have the A-10 right. sewn up anyway. So.
Yeah, so the Queen City rivalry.
Yes.
Are the assholes of the week.
Okay.
Guys.
And with that, we're going to start wrapping up the show. We thank you, as always, for joining us these back-to-back nights. Tonight was kind of an express episode, but we just wanted to get the wrestling news and headlines in. So we will be back this weekend for you. Tomorrow night, we're going to record WrestleMania 11. That'll be posted Sunday night. Go back and check out our sports headlines from last night if you haven't heard it. We had a great argument, great debate over Romo and a few other things. So yep. Very heated between Scott yep. and I. Other than that, we hope you have a great rest of your week and weekend. We'll talk to you Sunday night. Visit us on Twitter, Place2BPodcast, Facebook on the Place2BPodcast Facebook page, and at bigelow34.proboards.com. You can email us at place2bpodcast@gmail.com, and Graham Cawthon's historyofwwe.com as well. So for that, for my PAC, Scotty C., I am Justin Rosero. We are out. We'll talk to you this weekend.
Peace.